And I worked through it and worked through it. Go to Philippians chapter 3. And I have thoroughly enjoyed this study. This is the ability to forget is a lost art. Philippians. And it really is something only a Christian can experience. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. And Paul has got a lot to say in this chapter, but we're going to look at how forgetting fixes your brain. Okay? You're not made to hold on to every single memory of everything in your past. It will kill you. Now, it's all in there. But Christians have been given a liberty to forget. All right? Not that we're absent-minded. Not that we forget where we live. Not that we forget about our children. But that we have the ability to forget things that are killing us. Okay? Am I on the same frequency now? All right, I'm going to... If we get some more of these windows open, because I'm already getting hot, and believe me, I'm going to get hotter. Philippians 3:13, let's read here in verse 13. It says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." That counting is he's calculated, he's added up, he's looked at his life, and he says, "I haven't arrived yet, but this one thing I do." It's a present tense action. It's what he's doing right now. Forgetting those things which are where? Behind. Where is his face? Is his attention on what's behind him? No. Forgetting those things, you can't, if something's behind you, you can't be looking at it. Are you listening? I know this is primary education here. But if it's behind you, where is your attention? Ahead of you. Really deep, I know. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before. Now, it is hard to forget some things. And I'm not here to tell you, you must forget about this, forget about that. God says it, not me. There are some things that are very hard to forget. But it is necessary, as we've been focusing on the work of the Word on your mind. And one of the things God tells us to do is to forget some things. Amen? See, I can't. I'm going to help you tonight. Because if you're going to have a sound mind, it'll be necessary for you to forget some things. Troubled minds cannot forget. Remember that. Troubled minds cannot forget. Sound minds are able to forget. Now let's be clear. There are some things we cannot forget. Psalm 103 verse 2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." There's some things you better not forget. Psalm 119 says, "I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." You better not forget that book. I wonder what's going to happen tomorrow morning when you're headed out to school. I forgot my Bible. Mm-mm-mm. Don't forget your Bible when you're headed off to school. I know it's another thing to put in your rucksack. I know it weighs 1,000,000 pounds when you're carrying it. But don't forget your Bible. I will not forget thy word. And if you can't carry your Bible with you, you ought to carry it with you. You ought to meditate, memorize it. Deuteronomy 8:2 says, "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led these 40 years. God wants us to remember the way he's led us. There's some things to remember, even though that way may be hard. But we're going to get to the place tonight where it is possible to forget. Did you know God forgets? Take your Bible, leave Philippians, go to the right, find Hebrews 10:17. Hebrews 10:17, Jimmy, if you wouldn't mind reading that. Hebrews 10:17, evidently, God, who can do anything, forgets. Go ahead, Hebrews 10:17. That is way cool. God is able to forget on purpose. It's not like he's absent-minded. All right, where did I put my keys? That's not God. God is able to forget. And it is possible to forget because we already do forget some things. Don't you tell me, oh, I can't forget. I want to help you tonight. Look in Psalm 19. Psalm 19, Kim. Psalm 19. I say 19, 9, 17. Sorry. Psalm 9, 17. I meet people all the time who say, I can't forget. I just can't forget what he did to me. I can't forget what she said to me. Well, you're not being honest. That's a nice way of saying you're a liar. You can forget because people already forget all the time. Psalm 9 and verse 17, Kim.
The wicked shall be turned into heads, and all the nations shall forget
God. Nations forget about God. People forget about God. Jeremiah 2 and verse 32, Brother John. Jeremiah 2, going to go through our Bible tonight. Jeremiah 2 and verse 32. Entire nations forget things. They forget about God. I like how it talks about a maid, her ornaments. She's dressing herself up for her man, for getting somebody to notice her, or a bride, her attire. Go ahead. So it's not just the lost that forget God, but God's people forget God. I think it's an absolute shame. What day is today? And yet some people wake up and they forget that, don't they? You know, a bride, here's somebody getting ready to get married. John and Ruth get ready to get married. And he arrives early and he's at church and he's all nervous and everything, and I'm glaring at him. And he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, Ruth comes running in and she's not in her wedding gown. And we all look at her and she goes, oh, I forgot my outfit. She wouldn't forget her outfit, would she? How could a bride forget her attire? Yet my people, God says, forget me days without number. It is astounding. Go to, people forget God's blessing. Psalm 103, don't go there, but Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not. Why would he tell us not to forget his benefits? Because we do. Forget how good he is. Hosea 4. Go to the right, almost to Matthew. Hosea 4, little book. I like having the opportunity to get people into what are called the minor prophets. Brother Graham, Hosea 4 and verse 2. No, that's not it. Am I in the right? Hosea 4, 6. Four, six, yes.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
Because you've forgotten my laws. Do people sort of conveniently forget what God says to not do? And to do? Yeah. People today have forgotten God's laws. There's some things we better not forget. The world forgets a lot of things, and even Christians forget. The point is, it is possible to forget. And I'm going to teach you, and I'm already going to jump ahead. If you're not able to forget, it's because you don't want to. That's what I'm going to say in just a few minutes. Paul commands us to make forgetting one of our highest priorities. He says, I have not finished, I haven't crossed the finish line, I have not arrived yet, but this one thing I do, it's an imperative command, it's something we must do. And what is sweet is that God promises that we can forget. Let's go to Isaiah 54 and verse 4. Gina, Isaiah, back to the left a little bit, Isaiah 54 and verse 4. And this is speaking of Israel, and as a nation, its past, and all of the shame that goes with the past in Israel. Israel should be, a Jew should, if they're a Bible-believing Jew, they'd be very embarrassed about their past, wouldn't they? And watch what God says about their past. There's going to be a time where you're going to be back with me instead of, because they were divorced from God, and they were in a widowhood state, and God says, that'll all be in the past, and you'll forget it. And that's a great, great... God promises you can forget the things behind you. So let's learn how to do it tonight. Father, as we bow in prayer right now, God, I pray you open our eyes and our minds to this great truth and to these things that we have to settle. I really believe with all my heart, sin has so messed up our minds, but also the inability to forget is breaking our minds, is ruining, is defiling, is clogging up our minds. We want to have sound minds. We want to have minds that think clear. Lord, that our conscience and our imaginations are not overrun by every wicked and evil thought and imagination, but that you are in all our thoughts. That's what we want. So, Lord, I pray for your help tonight and that you would prick every heart, cut us deep, and help us tonight to forget. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now, how to forget. We'll go back to verse 1 because this, in Philippians, Paul doesn't just say, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting. He doesn't just say, forget at the first. He puts it in the middle of the chapter for a reason. There's something he's got to lay the foundation for before he can say, now you can forget. And you're not going to like what I say. You're not going to like because you're not going to like what Paul says. But the first thing is you must, if you're going to learn to forget, you're going to have to reject your importance. Look in verse 3, it says this. For we, Jews, are the circumcision, and Gentiles who are believers, let me finish up your thoughts. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and underline these next words. And have how much confidence? No confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath wherewith he might trust in the flesh, I more. If anybody else has something to brag about, I've got more to brag about. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law. He was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless. And I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Forgetting starts with dethroning you. I really believe with all my heart, as I've studied people and I study my Bible, people won't forget some things because it is necessary for them to keep remembering it so they can prove they're right. I'm guilty. I am absolutely dead guilty where when there's something that somebody else has done to me or said about me, I just start writing it down. I say, I got to keep everything down. I got to remember this. They're not going to get away with this. Don't you look at me like you don't do that. You get in an argument with your wife and you're saying, well, she said this and I have to respond. If you won't forget, it's because you think you're right and you've got to keep it so that you can prove you're right. That's how we are. People will keep memories of the past sharp so they can use them like a lawyer. Yet God says three things, I think. Go to Romans chapter 6. God says that we do not have to be right. As a matter of fact, Weston, with your funny Dublin accent, would you read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 6? Thank God you do not have a Dublin accent. Romans chapter 6. Yeah, we love Tala, but we don't want anybody to sound like Tala. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 6, please.
Walk.
You know what you ought to write down next to those verses, actually the whole chapter? Die to self. I mean, you see how many times he says death, 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 destroy, crucified. There's something about the Christian life that starts with death, amen? It starts with the cross. God says that we need to die. Not physically, but we need to die to ourself. And there's a summary here. Go to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, Brother Kevin. Go to the right, find Colossians chapter 3. In verse 2. Now, Brother Kevin, are you alive or dead? This is a trick question.
I'm alive.
That's right. So how do you die? Well, this is, look at what he says in chapter 3, verse 2.
Set your affections on things above, and not things on the earth.
Now, verse 3. I should have verse 3 in there. Okay, so I skipped the verse there in Romans just for easy. It says, reckon yourselves to be dead. Decide, I'm dead. Now, this is the beginning of us having a freedom of mind to forget by reckoning. And I got to reckon myself to be dead. Henry, just put it this way. Make yourself old news. If you hand me a newspaper from last year, I'm not going to want to read it. Amen? If you tell me about all your problems, I'm not really going to care. No. Make yourself unimportant is what he's saying. Just let it die. And I know it's not easy. Don't you get the idea that I'm just saying just do it. But it's old news. You are old news. Christ is the new news. Amen?
Amen.
The life he's given you. Your life is hid where? In Christ and God. So you're dead. You're old news. You're what's another word? Yeah, buried, but your history, you're unimportant. We don't like to say that because all our lives, we've been cringing and yearning for somebody to tell us we're important. But let me tell you, God proves you are important, but not because you are important, but because he thinks you're important, and that's good enough. Reckon yourself to be dead. Quit thinking about your rightness and that your needs really matter right now. Reject your importance. That's what he says, because he's standing up there and he says, I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I am this. I am that. He has eye trouble. Just like the devil. He says, I will ascend up. I will be like the Most High. You know what Paul realizes? I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Reject your importance. Secondly, respect Christ. Look in verse 8. Keep going there. Back in Philippians 2, just two or three pages back. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness anymore, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, not even his own faith, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable, there is again, unto his death. You know what he decides? He says, I'd like to live and die like Christ. Now, when I say respect, I mean esteem him, value him, magnify him. Paul added it all up. Everything, every accomplishment in his life, everything that he had done and was good at, and he compared it with all that he got in Christ. You know what he ended up with? Only Christ. That's all that was left there. Everything in Paul's life except Jesus was a loss. It was a drain. It was a waste. If there was anything good in his life, it was because of Jesus Christ. And really, any man, John, anything that happens in your life right now is because of Jesus Christ. In the future, it'll be because of Ruth. That's what happens when you get married. Everything's because, and it's true, behind every man is a better woman. Amen, you know that. But if there was anything good in his life, it was because of Jesus Christ. When he compared to Jesus Christ, his success, his accomplishments were only dung. What is dung? Ooh. You ever stepped in that? I have. Eric remembers it. It's not something you want to bring home to the kids, amen. Do you know what's funny? That's what he compared his successes to. That's what he compared his Hebrew of Hebrewishness. That's what he compared his own personal righteousness to. What do you think his failures were compared to? Are you getting this? Okay? So you got to start beating yourself and say, I'm just a failure. I can't succeed. Your successes aren't any good. Amen? Hello? You getting the picture now? Dethrone yourself, and then your respect, your value is in Christ, not in anything in yourself, good or bad. There's an example. I thought about this. I said, what would he be compared to? And I thought it'd be like, now there was some prince that just got married to a commoner. Did you hear about that this last week or 2 weeks ago? Some prince over in Thailand or whatever renounced the throne. I'm serious. I love those stories. Because it's this thing, this is like a wealthy prince falling in love with a commoner. Now the English had one prince who did that 40 years ago or 50 years ago. Isn't that right? I don't know the name of him. But he threw, it'd be like a prince falling in love with a commoner and throwing all of his kingdom away as if it was nothing because of the greater wealth in the person of his love. Do you understand? And when you look at your life, I don't care how successful, I don't care how popular, I don't care who worships you. If you could finally just throw it away for a love life with Jesus Christ, now you're getting the taste of what Paul did. It's just esteeming Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he loved you and gave himself for you. That's powerful. You know what Jeremiah 9 says? Let not the mighty man glory in his strength, or the wise man in his knowledge. But he that glorieth, he that rejoices, he that is excited, let him rejoice in this, that he knoweth and understandeth me, God says. That's awesome. And Paul says that I may just know him. You know what? That'll help you forget about anything that's holding you back. When he is your focus. Now let's get to the main point. First step was what? You may remember? Dethrone yourself. I called it reject your importance. Then respect Christ. And then third, release the past. Key word is release. Because I don't think we know what forgive means. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to see that you, if you're saved, I know what I have. I have a past life that is in the past. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. And Eileen, if you'll read that, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Amen. Amen. Hey, your past life ought to remain where? In the past. Amen. Too many people drag dead things into our present. Now, not everybody lives that way. A lot of people still struggle with the hurts from years ago. They struggle with sinful habits. They struggle with sinful thinking. And I believe some of the worst damages going on in our minds right now are not because of the things we experienced years ago. They're because we relive it still today. Okay? Are you with me? Our worst problems are not what we experienced. It's what we keep bringing up and experiencing still today. It's just as valid today. The problem with memory is it can be replayed over and over and over again. And it affects us. Our memories affect us just as if it was the pain of years ago. It's still just as powerful and hurtful as it was back then. Amen? Memories. And yet God has given us a method of forgiving and forgetting, and it is amazing. Let's talk about the biblical meaning of forgetting. It is, let's stop there for a second. It is not possible to remove the memory. It's not possible. Not unless you're brain damaged, amen? Some of you, I wonder. But it's not possible to actually reach in and remove the memory and go, wow, I can't remember it at all. To forget means to not think about. Let's give you an illustration. Jim, come up here. John and Graham, come up here for a second. All right? Well, we'll go over here. We'll start here. All right? These guys, all right, I'm going to race you. Okay, now just stand there for a second. You come over here. John, you stand over there. All right, I'm going to race here. All right, on your mark. We're not going to go anywhere, but just pretend, okay? On your mark. Get set. Now, I'm going to go and I'm going to lead them for a second. Stay down. Don't you get up. I'm the one preaching, all right? On your mark. Get set. Go. As I begin to run, and of course, I'm in the lead. But as I take off, what is my attention on? All right. If I start, there may be 50 other guys with me, all intent on winning. Let's try it again. On your mark, get set, stay still, go. And as we go, are they still there? Yes or no? Yeah. Yes. But I have to forget that they're there. Are you with me? You have a memory, it's there, but you have to not think about it. Because when you think about it, you fuel it. Now let's watch this. Now, let's move slowly. Don't want to make it damaged here. We're going to move slowly. As we move, come on, let's go with me. Now just move real slow. As we move, and I start to look at him, and I start to look at him, and I start to get worried about him, you know what I'm doing? I'm wasting energy. Stop for a second. These guys are pathetic, all right? But at least I win. All right, you can sit down. You can sit down. I cannot remove them from the race. Are you listening? I cannot get rid of them so that I'm the only one running. I cannot remove memories from me so that I don't have any problems with my past. To forget means I cannot think about it. I, by my own mind, I decide, I choose not to think about my past. It means to not pay attention to something. Go to James chapter 1. Go to the right, find James, right after Hebrews. James chapter 1, and this is such a classic male verse. James chapter 1, because we are all like this, James chapter 1, it is not a female verse. There are some verses for men and for some verses for women, and this is a man verse. James chapter 1, verse 24, who just read there? Okay, Lily, would you mind reading that? James 1, 24, real loud. Do you know what that's referring to? Read the previous verse. I should have asked you to do that. Read 23 and 24 now. It's all right. You can forget about it later. Go ahead. Referring to a mirror. It's like a man beholding his natural face, a physique, and he looks in the glass, and it says he beholding himself, and he just goes his way. What guy, unless he's weird, what guy goes in the mirror and goes, whoa, man, look, that's really out of place. Oh, I better fix my hair. Oh, you know what we do? We look and we go, that's what a guy does, doesn't he? We just really, unless we're really bad, we just don't pay attention to detail about ourselves, do we? All right. So the principle here is just amazing. To forget means to not pay attention. To not pay attention to the details. That's what it means to forget. Another way of saying this is to lose the memory of something. You should conveniently, you know it's there. If you lose your keys are in the house. You just can't find them. You know there are memories of 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 5 days ago that keep coming up. You ought to conveniently lose them. I can't remember. Oops. I don't make the effort to remember. You listening? It also means to neglect to remember on purpose, hopefully. Amen. See, the memories of our past will always be there. But if we decide that the power of those memories over your life must be ignored. Every parent needs to learn this with babies. Okay? You and Ruth are going to learn this because Mama and I are going to make sure you learn it. And you guys, I'm going to try and help you, but your dad and Mom will probably teach it. That as a parent, your baby will try to control your life. Amen? What does he want? You. He wants to control you, dominate your life, ruin your life. You know what a parent has to learn? To ignore him. You would ignore your kid? Yeah. Fed, burped, nappy changed, comfortable. Ignore him. Amen. And you've got a memory that is under the blood, you can ignore it. Amen. Let it scream all it wants. Are you listening? That is what it means to forget. Not that it's not there, but you treat it like it's not there. It's basically letting go of a memory. Some people think that their memories have control of them only because you give them power. Yeah, how many of you are saved tonight? Raise your hand. Put your hand up high. If you're saved, don't you be ashamed. If you're saved, who owns you? The Lord Jesus Christ. You are bought with a price. But if there is any demonic, if there is any worldly, if there's any carnal hold in your life, whose fault is it? It's ours. Not Christ's. So if there's any struggle in your life, it's because you invited it in. Every man is tempted of his own lusts and enticed. Amen? It's our own fault. And if you're struggling with a memory, it's because you want that memory. Nod your head. And it requires that we forgive. There's no other way to forget except with forgiveness. If memories haunt you, I believe with all my heart, I've read and studied, I believe it is because unforgiveness is the cause. You know what you need to do? You need to release your enemy. I'm talking about the one who has hurt you, the one who owes you big time, and release him from the debt. I want to talk about this in a minute. Only Christians can do this. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let's see, Brother Darren, could you mind reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32? So, Brother Darren, God forgave me because I earned his forgiveness, correct? God forgave me because I'm worthy of being forgiven, right? God forgave me because I was so sorry and I was really working hard and not ever doing... Why did God forgive a wretch like me? Can you not do that as well? Forgive on Christ's account. The reason why we cannot forget is because we're not forgiving. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Okay. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. To the right, just a few pages, two books. No, those aren't suggestions. Those are just as valid as the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. If any man have a quarrel, forgive, as Christ forgave you. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Dina, Romans chapter 12. Only Christians can do this. Romans chapter 12, verse 20. Read it real loud. I know we're in a big room here, but 12, 20, and 21.
Therefore, we
So the only way to defeat your enemy is to be good to him. Now, I've heard some preachers say, no, keep coals of fire on their head. That's a terrible thing. You can burn them. How is overcoming evil with burning your enemy? No, it's actually give them a gift, heaping coals of fire on their head. They actually would carry coals in these baskets on their head, and they walk away going, I got a blessing from this guy. I got a blessing from this guy. Overcome evil with good. Don't try to burn your enemy. Oh, you don't want to heat coals of fire on you. Can you imagine a Christian having that attitude? No. Come on. Be a blessing. Only Christians can forgive. I mean really forgive. Go to Deuteronomy, because forgiving is the release of a debt. Deuteronomy 15, 1 to 3. Tony, Deuteronomy chapter 15. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy 15, verses 1 to 3, and then verse 9. The whole chapter is really good, but I just want you to see something. Forgiveness is not a word. Are you with me? I forgive you, you liar. You haven't forgiven until you've released them from the debt they owe you. Tony, Deuteronomy 15, 1 to 3. Go down to verse 9.
Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cried to God against thee, and he sinned.
So if somebody owes you, and God says, forgive him now, it was every 7 years, debts were to be zeroed out. If somebody lent you, if you lent them 500 euros, and then 7 years later they still owed you 300 left, and they just couldn't pay it, you forgave them the debt, you gave them the money, and you walked away. You paid the debt yourself. Every 7 years, you reset the cycle. People are able to start over and start again. And it was called the Lord's release, wasn't it? It's the Lord's command. So the principle is, when God says to forgive, at that moment, you pay the debt. You pay what they cannot. Do you understand that? That is forgiveness. Go to Genesis chapter 41. I'll show you how this works. Well, before you go there, I want to say something more powerful. Stop there. Go to Matthew 27. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, why it's not there? There we are. Hold there. Matthew 27. And because it's long, I'm going to read it. Matthew 27. An unsaved man made a release that is one of the greatest, most amazing events in history. Matthew chapter 27, verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release, circle that word, unto the people a what? A prisoner. Whom they would. A guilty man, somebody that should pay. And Pilate said, I'm going to be nice enough to let him go free. Who is he wishing and hoping that the crowd would cry out for? Watch this. And they had then a notable, a very famous prisoner, a criminal called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, the crowd, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, that I forgive their debt? Barabbas! Ah, or Jesus, which is called Christ. Yes, that's what he's saying. For he knew that for envy they had delivered him, not for any other crime. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests, while they were arguing, as husband and wives do, the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas, and yet destroy Jesus. So the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain that I have standing here in front of you, will ye that I release unto you? And they said what? Now, was Barabbas worthy of being released? was Barabbas, Pat Rabbit, no, was Barabbas, was Barabbas somebody that you would have even imagined being released from murder and from such a debt that he owed? But they said Barabbas. Pilate said unto them, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all said unto him, let him pay. Let him die. Let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Verse 25, then answered all the people and said, his blood be upon us and on our children. But verse 26 is the key. Then what? Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. What do you think Barabbas looked like when he was released? I don't owe the debt anymore. I'm a free man. Can you imagine Barabbas? Because Barabbas is a great picture of us. Jesus went to the cross when we should have been there, and we went free. And on that basis, you can look at your arch enemy, and in your heart of hearts, you can say, I release you from what you owe me. Because if you don't, you'll never forget what they did to you. If they did and are doing something so wrong, you have to be able to look at them and say, I release them. I release because I've been released. Amen? Only because of Christ. Go to Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8. Let's see. Let's get the young birthday boy, Josiah. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Josiah turned 13. What day were you? Was your birthday, Josiah? It was yesterday. Well done. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. Real loud, please. Do you realize the fact that God just said, I will remember no more their sins, are because he had mercy on their sins? Because he forgave, he was able to forget. That is cool. God didn't just up in heaven go, oh, forget about it. Oh, let's forget about it. Don't even bring it up anymore. No, he never said that. He said, I will have mercy. I will pay your debt. And that enables God to have a clean conscience. See, he didn't just say, oh, we won't deal with sin anymore. Oh, the whole world, I just forgive you. No, no. Somebody had to pay. Are you with me? And he paid it. And that enabled God Almighty to say, now I choose and I decide to never remember it again. Forgiveness enabled God to forget. Now this is cool. Joseph allowed God. Go to Genesis 41. I'll try and wrap this up. Genesis chapter 41, verse 51. I want to compare Joseph and Esau for a brief moment here. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 51.
And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God said to me, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house.
That is rich. When he had a baby, he named him Forgetting. He called him Manasseh, which means forgetting, forgetful. Now, I want you to understand this. Joseph allowed God to help him forget his past. Don't forget that Joseph still remembered everything. But he chose to forget it ever happened. He chose to live like it never happened while he was a slave and in prison later on. He chose to forget. Joseph could have gotten bitter. He could have stayed bitter like another man did. His name was Esau. Did you know both Esau and Joseph were abused by their brothers? Jacob was not a nice guy to be related to. Amen? Both Joseph and Esau both had reasons to be angry and to be vengeful and to keep bitterness. One of them stayed that way for the rest of his life, didn't he? He never went forward. But one man became prince of Egypt. And I believe it's because he was able to forget. And why was he able to forget? Because he forgave. He put it behind him. Joseph, what should we forget? You should forget every memory that defiles your mind. You know, a lot of people, I've had people ask me, says, I keep having this reoccurring dream. Does it mean anything? You know what I tell them? Stop thinking about it. Because the more you focus on that dream, the mind says, oh, wow, he likes that. Let's dream it again. If you have a reoccurring dream, get your Bible out and read. Don't focus on things that are going on inside your head and take them so seriously. Focus on what God says. Focus on what God promises, not what's being cooked up inside your head. You need to forget every memory that is defiling your mind, whatever is pulling you back under the bondage of the past, should not be kept around. Look at Isaiah 38. Isaiah chapter 38, Jay. Pray for Jay. He's headed up to Tala. He'll be helping out in RU up there. Look at Isaiah. What did I say? 38 and verse 17. That's wild. Everything about my past, God took and he threw behind his back. But do you know how far he threw it? Psalm 103 says, as far as the east is from the west. Quite a throw. Think about it. He didn't take our sin and then just stuff it in his back pocket so he could pull it out and shove it in our face every time we fell. Aren't you glad? He took our sin and he cast it behind his back, and I believe it's still moving. Amen? How many of you watch that old... There was a film back in the 1950s, black and white, called Flubber. And this wacky professor put some flubber, this stuff that was real bouncy, onto a football, American football, and these guys kicked the football, and it kept going. And it was in orbit. And it's still going to this day in the movie. The point being, God moved our sins to the back, and it's still going as far as the east is from the west. That's how you should forget every failure. And God says you can forget. Learn from your past, but ignore the power that that had over you. Do you know no Christian is ever a failure? Look at me. There are no failures in Christianity unless you do one thing. What is it? Unless you quit. There are no failures in Christianity. Philippians 1:6 says, he which hath begun, what? A good work in you. Did he start a good work in you? You're going to fail. You're going to fall out. You're going to mess up. But he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You can't lose until you quit. Don't quit. Luke 9:62 says, no man who sets his hand to the plow is worthy of the kingdom if he keeps looking back. What are my friends doing? What new phone do they have? What new TV program are they watching? Set your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Every failure, everything that calls for our attention from following God's will has got to be on purpose forgotten. Christians desperately need to forget some things. Because you need to start making some room for some better things. You only have so much space inside of that head of yours. Some of you, never mind. And God wants to put some things in your memories, but if you keep bringing up the old ones, there's no room for some new ones. Are you listening? Does that make sense? God says forget so that you can have some better memories. If you don't forget some past things, you'll never be able to reach forth to some future things. Now let's go back and let's wrap this thing up. I want to say that you're not just forgetting. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and I do, and I do it again, and I do it tomorrow, and I'll do it the next day, forgetting those things which are where? And reaching forth into those things which are where? Before you. And I press toward the mark for the prize. Is the prize a good thing? Josiah, did you have a good day? You need to open a bank account, don't you now? Yeah, amen. It's good. Prizes are good. Amen. There's some blessings ahead. I mean, you could have said yesterday, you could have said on Friday, I'm not having a birthday. I've only had bad birthdays. And you would have missed all of the blessings of yesterday and today. Amen. And a lot of Christians don't realize that there is a prize ahead for the Christian life. Reach forth to more important things. I have so much to say, but I want to finish up. When others have hurt you in the past, when they've disappointed you, when they've said and done hurtful things against you, you need to be able to forget that and forgive that. There's Proverbs 18:8 says this, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly of the gut. There's not one of us who doesn't have a collection of hurts. If I could, open up my display and show you. Let me show you this one. Oh, that one really hurt. And this one I'm still bleeding from. And that we could show us our trophies of pain. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? Only a born-again child of God who knows how to cast it on him. If you... If you can't forgive, it's only because you won't put away these pains. Psalm 147:3 says, God healeth the broken heart, and he bindeth up the wounds. I read how God's forgiveness means where he buries our sins and he doesn't mark the grave. I like that. Do you know what God would rather do than judge you? Forgive you. When God looks at a Christian, he sees a person who is totally covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This was phenomenal. To the Greeks, they had a tremendous man in a guy named Achilles. Achilles was unstoppable because his mother dipped him in some thing, whatever it was. It made him invincible. But all but one spot on the back of his heel, because that's where she held him when he was a baby. She dipped him in this thing. Achilles' heel. You ever heard of that? See, we all have more than an Achilles' heel. But Jesus Christ, think about it. Think about it. When God looks at your life, there is not one part that's not covered by the blood of Christ. Amen. When he looks at you, he doesn't see all of those sins. He sees one of his sons, one of his daughters. Amen. You know, you get onto your computer. We have a problem with forgiveness, just like our computer does. You take something and you move it over into the trash bin, right? Guess what? It's still there, isn't it? Oh, I forgive you. It's just in the trash bin. I can bring it out anytime I need it. You know what you need to do? You need a double delete. Amen. Securely delete. You need to wipe out, purge. I'll say it this way. Every brain needs a toilet. Flush some stuff down and don't go after it. Amen. Don't waste any more days or nights living in the past, dwelling on the past and all the disappointments. Did Paul have disappointments, yes or no? My goodness, he sure did. But he didn't mind him. Some of you wouldn't know what to do if you didn't wake up depressed. Am I in heaven? Take some risks. Leave your comfort zone. Stop living in the era of the past and your sorrow and your bitterness and your frustration, settle your target. You know what your target ought to be? That. Amen? I don't care. You know, you might be in the midst of guys who are going to trip you, who are going to try and nudge you, who are going to try to distract you and divert your attention, but you don't care what the other opponents are going to try to do. Your attention is on that sign. Amen? And crossing that sign. Settle your target. Focus on that. Force yourself forward. Thrust yourself forward. Some people need to push away from their drinking buddies. It'll do you good. It'll get you going forward, amen, instead of always wondering what they're doing. Pull yourself forward like a mountain climber. Settle your target. You know what Israel did? Israel's past and the world around them constantly pulled them away from God. Constantly tried to pull them back to Egypt. Constantly tried to get them back into paganism of all the cultures around them. But the nation of Israel constantly repeated its past sins because they never aimed higher than their past. That's a great revelation. You see them constantly going through the same cycles because they never set their targets on a higher plane. God calls us to aim high. Stretch off your efforts to the future, man. We have a call to holiness, not to mediocrity. This church, every person in this church ought to be a prayer warrior, not a pathetic, mope, and defeated Christian. Amen? Every Christian in this room has been called to resist the devil, not becoming a slave to him again. Every Christian in this room has been called to passionately, fervently serve like no one else ever has. The challenge went forth back in the early 1800s for some man who would go into some city and would be the best, greatest Christian who ever lived, who ever served, who ever gave his life for souls. And one young man who sold shoes said, "I'll be that man." His man was Dwight L. Moody. He reached Chicago. Millions of people got saved because that man said, "I'm not going to be like I was. I'm going to aim high." Every Christian in this room has been called to not be like Thomas anymore, but to be more like Christ. We need to be challenged to hear a "well done" instead of a "uh-oh, here comes so-and-so. Well, we'll have to deal with him." Stretch your focus to the future. What's ahead of you? Do you know what's ahead of you, Graham? I can guarantee you this. No matter how rough, it's going to be cool. Reach forth to it. Strive for it. I like going places. Eric took us to some mountain range. Never been there before. I thought it was cool. Never been there before. As we came up this hill, I was nearly dead. So we're coming up this hill. I mean, they know it. I was like, Eric's going, "It's okay, breathe deep." And we get up there, and then it all opened up. It was gorgeous. The clouds were up at the top of this mountain, and they were just enfolding and coming down. I went, "I've never been here before." It's cool. Set life like that. Stretch your efforts for the future. Don't look back. Stretch your efforts for the victorious Christian life. Quit reminding yourself of the failure that you used to be. Don't let the devil remind you of the failure you used to be. Remind him to go to hell. Start just live in victory. And then stretch your efforts out to Jesus Christ. You know what Paul says? "That I may win Christ." You know, 26 years ago, 27 years ago, I tried to win that woman's heart. And you know what? Now that I'm a Christian, I want to win his heart. Amen? Now, he already loves me, but I'd like to give him a reason to love me. "That I may win Christ," Paul says. And you need to stretch out your efforts to meet the needs of the world. You are not going to go soul winning unless you care about souls. Amen? You're not going to go because it's fun, because you make profit out of it, because people love you. You'll do it because you're stretching yourself. You're reaching out to somebody that might be the answer to this country's greatest needs. Now let's finish this up. It's hard to forget some things. Undoubtedly. But don't you go out of here saying, "I just can't forget." Translate, "I just won't." It is possible to forget some things. How to forget? Four things. Reject your importance. Next time you start saying, you're not going to get away with that, slap yourself or let me do it. And get off the throne and realize you're not the issue. There's a spirit behind it. Let's wrestle against the spirit, not against the flesh. Respect Jesus Christ. Exalt him. Magnify him. Prize a relationship with him. Realize just knowing him is the greatest thrill of a Christian. Release to the past, the past. If it's in the past, let's leave it there. And let's reach forth to more important things. We've got some important things to do in 2012. I mean, folks, if it's the end of the world, I want to have done my best. I don't think it'll be the end of the world. I do believe the rapture could be in 2012. Maybe this year. I do believe we've got a future to live before he comes back. Let's live it. Amen. Let's stand in this bond prayer.